from the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Mid-Hudson News is reporting attorney Kyle Vandewater of Hyde Park, the Republican candidate for Congress against incumbent Antonio Delgado in 2020, died suddenly on Tuesday, September 7th. In July, Vandewater, 41, announced he would challenge the Rhinebeck Democrat again in 2022, but by mid-August, he disclosed on social media that he had changed his mind, saying, and I quote, "Unfortunately, circumstances in my life have changed and I am no longer able to give 110% towards this endeavor. For the good of the party and the district, I have decided to withdraw my candidacy," end quote. Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro confirmed Vandewater's death in a statement Tuesday evening. He said, and I quote, "My heart is broken for Kyle's children and family. My prayers are with them as they attempt to come to grips with this absolute tragedy. Kyle was a war hero who put his life and well-being on the line for his country. We owe him, his family, and all of our brave servicemen and women everything for the sacrifices they have made," end quote. Vandewater served 8 years on active duty with the U.S. Army JAG Corps and 3 years with the U.S. Army Reserve. He had been an associate with Corbally, Gartland, and Rapalea in Poughkeepsie since 2014. On Tuesday, the town of Poughkeepsie police responded to a call of a man down at the Poughkeepsie Rural Cemetery. Police located the man, later identified as Vandewater. Police sources say the death is being investigated as a likely suicide. No additional details have been made available, and you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. Jeff Prevall is reporting for WGRZ-TV. The state of New York will not extend federal pandemic unemployment programs that expired this past weekend. Governor Kathy Hochul said the state's Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund currently has a deficit of $11 billion as many employers continue to need help filling jobs and many New Yorkers remain unemployed. Even though the federal programs have expired, states are permitted to extend unemployment programs according to the CARES Act. However, that will not happen in New York. Hochul said during a briefing Sunday about the Hurricane Ida cleanup, and I quote, "What we determined was that the federal government has to okay allocations to us, and secondly, because our unemployment system was so overtaxed last year and a half, that we now have an $11 billion unemployment insurance trust fund deficit, and the state law does not allow us any increases in resources as long as there is a deficit," end quote. The governor said she is instead focused on job retraining for the unemployed. Hochul said that she is looking for a detailed analysis on when the hospitality industry in Buffalo and other regions will come back. Read the full story at WGRZ.com. Davis Donovan is reporting for WSHU-FM. The response of New York and Connecticut has been better than average for how those state prison systems responded to the COVID-19 pandemic, according to a nationwide criminal justice group. However, advocates said both states could do more. The Prison Policy Initiative gave the majority of states an F, while New York and Connecticut were given an F+. Wanda Bertram is with the Prison Policy Initiative, and she said people incarcerated in the nation's prisons are dying of COVID-19 at much higher rates than the general population. Bertram said, and I quote, "Because prisons have never been safe places for people to be during a pandemic, or really ever," end quote. The group graded each state based on about 30 metrics, like vaccination efforts for the incarcerated or early release for those at highest risk. Bertram said, and I quote, "Releasing people and letting them go home during the pandemic is the best way of slowing down this virus inside prisons and jails," end quote. She said both states left key policy options on the table. Bertram said, and I quote, For instance, Connecticut and New York actually released fewer people on parole in 2020 than they had in 2019, which is astonishing to me, end quote. She said New York fell short on some surprising metrics, too. Bertram said, and I quote, "All too often we think about mass incarceration and inhuman treatment as something that only happens in those famous tough-on-crime states like the Gulf states, but in New York, the vaccination rate behind bars is only 40%, so people are in real danger," end quote. The report gave New Jersey its highest grade, a C. That state led the country in releasing people. California got a C-, and no other state scored above a D. Read the full story at WSHU.org. Melanie Lekasevic reports for Columbia Green Media that the toll takers on the Rip Van Winkle Bridge are about to lose their jobs. The electronic gantries to implement cashless tolling have been installed next to the toll booths on the west bank of the Hudson River, but officials aren't saying when exactly the current toll takers lose their job. Christopher Stieber, public information officer for the New York State Bridge Authority, said, and I quote, "No official date has been set yet for the launch of cashless tolling at the Rip Van Winkle Bridge, but we are still on track to do so this fall. We continue to install equipment at the facility, and once complete, we will begin tests to ensure the equipment is properly functioning," end quote. EasyPass users continue to pay $1.45 to enter Columbia County, while the sensors will read license plates of cars without EasyPass and send one $1.75 charge to the car owner. All five Bridge Authority toll booths are being taken down, and the Newburgh Beacon Bridge went live July 7th with the new sensors. The Bear Mountain Bridge will be next, followed by the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. The current toll booth on the bridge won't be removed until next year. Stieber said, and I quote, "Next spring, when construction can occur, we plan to start reconfiguring the toll plaza to allow for seamless travel through the plaza. Notably, westbound travelers who have just crossed the bridge will no longer have to hook to the right in order to pass around the toll booths like they currently do. Rather, they will keep traveling straight through in the vicinity of where lanes 2 and 3 currently are," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXE Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.